life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. I'm Brian Smith, the man who saw a wild Pikachu hanging round the bins of Tesco. And this is episode 30 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. As always, I'm joined by a man who has been dreaming about owning lots of hats. My co-host, it's Anthony Askew.
Evening. And
this week we are joined by Lewis Smith. No relation.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, I did wonder what kind of intro I was going to get.
Well, I was wondering as well. About 5 minutes ago, well, that's what I was wondering when I was writing it.
Whereas, I was making the mistake of starting to have a drink of water when he reads them, and I squirt a little bit out my nose if it's a funny one, which it tends to be. So.
Well, I did look up what dreaming of hats meant, Anthony.
Oh, all right, yeah.
And according to Freud...
Oh, God.
Hats are representative of female genitalia.
Well, I was surrounded by hats. So it's irony for the real thing, I suppose.
There's nothing to do with Q.
Oh, well. I was worried when you said it was a Freud theory, because I didn't know what you were going to say. But never mind. So what are we here for?
We are here to talk about Tiger and Bunny. But first
about
of all...
time.
As we always do when we have somebody from the UK anime fan community, it's time to drill them about their past in anime fandom. So, Lewis, what sort of cartoons got you into anime?
Probably cartoons that were anime. So, I think when I was a kid, I used to hate a lot of cartoons. So I liked them. There was a lot of cartoons that I never quite got into. I think probably a lot of them are Askew's favourites, and I think you've mentioned like the raccoons and stuff like that. I really dislike that kind of stuff. The stuff I did remember, like, you know, I used to love Transformers and sort of Jason the World Warriors. And I was also in a big way, not cartoons, I used to be into sort of Power Rangers, embarrassing to admit.
We all were.
And then I lost track as it all went a bit crazy as I got older. I didn't prepare for which cartoons I used to watch. I can't remember many. I think I used to be more into sort of the sci-fi stuff and stuff like that. But I think it's more stuff that I recognise now as being anime that I used to enjoy, like The Lost Sisters of Gold. I mean, mine goes blank, so sorry, guys. You're like,
that's okay. No,
but probably the same sort of normal stuff.
Okay, and what was the first UK anime convention you went to?
The first anime convention was IRO5.
Ah, uh-huh.
It's a good year. That's what I always say. It's a good year.
It was absolutely fantastic because it's the first con I went to, and I think I've done things a lot differently. But the first time I went to a con, I went not knowing anyone. Didn't bother looking at forums, didn't do anything. I just met a bunch of people.
That's brave.
Just hung around with them for the weekend.
I don't remember seeing you because from pictures I've seen you, you haven't really changed much. But I don't remember seeing you, and you're quite distinctive. Not that he's ugly or anything. If the listeners think he's distinctive because he's got a big, I don't know, a big nose or something. But no, that's not the case.
I was weird though because of, like, you know, now we go to cons, we drink, we hang out, we do all of that, we stay on site. I was like 20 minutes from my house. I was just driving along, just hanging out for the day and going off in the evening. I didn't know about these parties. I didn't know about the drinking. I didn't know about all of that.
Well, how old were you at that con? Were you 18 or?
No, I was 21.
Oh, right. How old are you? Jesus.
I'm 26 now.
I didn't think you were that old.
I'm 27 in
Sorry. Jesus.
The icon was like weird because of, it was the first con I went to. I didn't really get everything that was going on. So I went to a lot of panels. I went to the famous Dokuro-chan screening with all the singing and everything like that. And a lot of concert. But in terms of a con, I enjoyed it. But it was kind of, I could have done a lot more. And Leon, who's been on there, he was meant to come, but unfortunately he couldn't make it. And his first one was AMI06. I think AMI06 is when things started really sort of, we started really getting to know people and making our friend groups and sort of getting to know sort of you and everyone else. That was our first sort of first proper con, and then been to sort of loads of expos and other conventions since, which expo is not a convention. I do not endorse that, but they're just social hangouts.
And have you any shameful cosplay secrets? As we always like to know.
I've got two. One.
Two? Go.
So I did Zoro, AMI06, but it was lazy. I put the costume together in about a day, and I used one sword.
Attention to detail.
Yeah, that was lazy. And my second one was sort of lazy, but it suited me more. I did Ishin Kurosaki from Bleach.
Which one's that?
So that's his dad.
It's whose dad?
It's the main character's dad.
Oh. I didn't realise his dad ever came into it, but now I know.
Yeah, spoilers.
Well, his dad's there from the start, but
he
eventually gets a costume which isn't just putting on a lab suit.
Oh, is that his dad? The one with the...
lab coat, because his dad's a doctor, yeah.
Ah. Right.
Or so he appears.
Dun, dun, dun.
Righty-ho. And let's crack on with Tiger and Bunny, which I have finally finished watching.
Both time.
I have to take it ages and ages and ages to get around to watching the last 5 episodes. I did sit down and watch them all in one go.
Ooh.
This is a rarity for me. Mm. Watching
no skipping through or anything like that.
Nope. I sat down, watched all 5, one go.
Impressive.
So those who've been living under a rock for the past year, Tiger and Bunny is a show about a group of superheroes who work for Hero TV in a city called Sternbild City. And these superheroes are creatures called, well, individuals called Nexts. And they've all got sort of individual superpowers. And our main heroes are Kotetsu T. Kaburagai, also known as Wild Tiger in his superhero identity, and Barnaby Brooks Jr., who picks up the nickname Bunny from Tiger when he's forced to become his partner.
The whole Hero TV thing, it's all to do with Hero Points as well, which adds to like this league table at the end. Is it a yearly league table or something?
Yes, yearly
seasonal.
Yeah,
and basically, if you're the first hero to turn up on a scene, you capture the crook or what have you. They've got their own like grading scales. Basically, so all the heroes who take part in the TV wants to be top, obviously. And Tiger Kotetsu, the main guy, he's pretty much rock bottom all the time, except, is it the Origami Kid?
No, I think the other guy, Rock Bison's the other guy who's...
Oh, they're pretty much, yeah, they never really do much in terms of scoring.
Yeah, he's Tiger's best friend, and he's invulnerable and wears a very heavy bull-themed power armor.
And he doesn't really get much coverage on the whole, really, as the series goes on.
He gets one episode. Well, most of the characters. So there's a bunch of characters, and might as well go through them. There's Wild Tiger, who I'm trying to think how old he. They don't never exactly say how old he is, but he's probably in his late 20s,
early
30s, because he's
got a mid 30s.
Because he's got a daughter who's I think aged between 10 and 11 during the series.
Kaede.
Yeah. Who he keeps his identity secret from her.
I presume, is it confirmed that her mother's dead?
Yes, she died from a disease.
Right, because she lives with... that's a little harsh.
It's just the way Brian said it, was like, she died from a disease, convenient plot.
Yes. a lot of cliches in this, I suppose, so why not the disease one?
Yeah, so she lives with her grandmother out in the countryside.
Very quaint. Whereas he... lives in the big city of Sternbild, which we've already mentioned.
I can't,
I think one of the things, just to, I know we're jumping onto sort of character names and stuff. I just maybe jump up in a minute, but like, you know, the sponsorship element as well.
Oh yes, yeah. They're all the characters are sponsored by real life companies. So Tiger's sponsored by
SoftBank.
Yeah, SoftBank and Bandai's SH Figuarts toy line,
which ended up making a Tiger like a Tiger figure, I believe.
Tiger and Buddy, yeah, you can get those as figures.
Well, did they tend to do good figures, or...?
You could get them before they all sold out.
Oh,
right. Oh no, I want to get one.
Now you can get them resold at much more higher price than what they originally were.
Typical, typical. And then the... And what's his power? How would you describe Tiger's power? I don't really... It's like a power-up kind of thing, isn't it?
It's 100
powers? 100 strength or something?
Yeah. They get like a... He gets a boost of strength and speed.
But it lasts for 2 minutes.
No, it's a bit longer than that. Yeah, it's 5 minutes to begin with.
Oh, right. Oh, I'm jumping ahead of myself here.
Yes.
Jumping ahead of myself.
And Barnaby Brooks Jr., his partner, Bunny, also has the same power.
Hmm.
Which is why they were in the first episode, they're given similar costumes and they're made to team up. So they sort of wear a green and red power armor.
Yeah.
To begin with,
it's all CG as well, bits when they've got their armor on. And
at the very start of the series, Tiger sort of wears a more traditional superhero costume.
It's pretty ugly, really.
Yeah, they're
kind of like a wrestling outfit, sort of old school Batman, you know, kind of crossed loads of different bits and pieces together.
Yeah, there's bits of hurricane polymer in there, 1970s Tatsunoko superhero. So in the first episode, his company that he was working for goes bust, and then he goes to work for Apollon Media, which is how he ends up becoming Barnaby's partner. And unlike all the other superheroes, Barnaby's identity is public because he's become a superhero to hunt down the killers of his parents.
Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
That's cut a long story short.
And a bit of Tony Stark from the Iron Man movies.
And he's not, well, I suppose he is a bit of a playboy in that sense of like, the Tony Stark thing, but, and the Bruce Wayne, but he's a lot more girlier.
He's a typical bishy character.
Yeah, he's mid-20s, and I'll get to, I've got some notes on, sort of, I might as well talk about it now rather than go. Yeah, so the pair of them are kind of like, I mean, it's set in 1978. It's not our 1978, but it is a 1978. And they're very much characters out of the 1970s. They're sort of they come from sort of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, probably kickstarted in the late 60s, along with The Odd Couple play, film, and then TV series. So there's bits of that in both of them. And then you see that in, so you got the British American show Persuaders. You ever seen that?
With Curtis
and Roger Moore. There is an anime which is more like The Persuaders, which is licensed by Royal, where you've got one upper-class British guy and one sort of working-class American guy, but they're both extremely rich. And then you had Alias Smith and Jones, which was basically, let's make Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid into a TV show. And then you get the thing which I think is the big influence on Tiger and Buddy, both in the characters and the demographic it picks up and how it sold people, and that's Starsky and Hutch. In that you've got you've got the buddy cop side of things, sort of the non-threatening masculine friendship that you get from, say, the Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid side of things. But you've also got the Odd Couple, sort of mismatched partners side of things from obviously the Odd Couple, which plays very much at the start of the show, is that the two can't get along.
Nah, different. Like I'm sure the whole thing early on is like one wants to go left, the other one wants to go right. Like I'm sure there's a bit in with a training or something with that, and that's the thing. But yeah, one wants to go early or something, one wants to do one way. And then I think that works pretty well. It's a tried and tested method, really, so can't really mess up the whole buddy thing, partner.
Yeah, it's obviously Barnaby Brooks is the David Soul character, and Kotetsu is the... is it Paul Michael Glazier? I think that's the guy from original Starsky and Hutch.
The name rings a bell.
I can't recall which one's Starsky and which one's Hutch for the life of me.
I've watched the poor remake and I can't remember either.
Yeah, I've got more memory of the remake because it was just coming to an end as when I was growing up as being on TV, because I've got memories of people playing Starsky and Hutch in the playground when I was about six or something.
Surely there's only room for two players. Well, that's what you've got.
Well, you've got Huggy Bear and you've got...
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry.
Chief, and you've got the villains, yes.
That's a game for the ages.
But again, if you look at the... Obviously, there's a degree of pandering to a female audience in this show, and there's a degree of that in Starsky. If you just look, one of the openings to Starsky and Hutch has both a clip of them just wandering around in towels... for whatever reason, and one where it looks like they're just about to hug each other. So there's obviously a degree of pandering going on in Starsky and Hutch, and in the UK, obviously, we have the Professionals instead.
I do like the Professionals.
And I did find a Japanese fan club, a fan page for fan site for the Professionals, where this somebody had done like very Bishonen drawings of Bodie and Doyle and. Oh, course, what's the Gordon Jackson character called?
Oh, I was young when I was...
Even like a Bishonen, even a Bishonen Gordon Jackson as well. So I'll try and put a link up for that.
Definitely want to check that out. See, obviously Tiger and Bunny does have those kind of elements of the kind of, for the female audience, but it doesn't come into play until later on.
No, I think...
I was going to say, it wasn't, and was it like when they played on the fan base? Later on.
Yeah, sort of in the second arc. I think once they realised what fan base they'd got, it was like they sort of... Well, let's talk about the next character, which Wikipedia lists is probably the best character to talk about how she ends up representing that fan base, and that is Blue Rose, who is a sort of a torch singer teenager who, in order to sort of become a celebrity singer, she also... has to be a superhero, and sort of early on she's weighing up whether she wants just to be a singer and not be a superhero. And
yeah, she gets a lot of little stories and episodes about her, really, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. Yeah, she's probably she's probably the third main character in the show.
Definitely.
There's another character you could argue, but he doesn't quite get enough time, and I'm guessing you'll probably get more when they pick up the show again, probably get a bit more coverage of him. But yeah, she's got ice powers, and she's sponsored by Pepsi Nex, the zero-calorie Pepsi drink.
Did the next part of that drink come out after Tiger and Bunny? Did I think next?
No, I think it was around before. I'm sure I've heard of it before. But yeah,
the episodes you watch always have the little trailer in the middle for it as well.
Go next!
Yeah, but in the second arc, she becomes almost like a standing for the teenage female audience of the show. Then we've got Sky High, who's the top-rated superhero at the start of the series.
Sponsored by Ustream.
Yes.
I hope he doesn't lag around in the skies like Ustream tends to do.
He's really enthusiastic, and he's actually a pretty good superhero, but his enthusiasm just sort of rubs the other characters up the wrong way, which is to the point of almost cruelty towards him. Particularly as it almost seems like he looks up to Wild Tiger in some of the early episodes, and then Wild Tiger is just horrible to him.
He's a nice guy, Sky High.
Yeah,
He gets picked on in the series quite a bit, just thinking about a particular storyline that dumps on him a bit as well.
I'd say he's probably got the best solo, sort of the spotlight character episode.
Is that the one with Are they trying to make him feel better or someone feel better by faking a robbery?
Oh, no, I can't remember which one that is. But now I'm thinking of the one where he gets a girlfriend.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. I forgot about that as well. Oh, it's heartbreaking, that. Which leads on to a more kind of important part of the story with that.
Yeah, because at first it seems like a throwaway one-episode deal, but actually it turns out to have a significant influence on the plot. Then there's Fire Emblem, the flamboyant gay hero.
He's actually one of my favourite characters.
He is great, yes, because he plays up the campness, because then when he drops it, he's hard as nails.
I was going to say, I'm sure there was one point, and I don't know how often they did it, but he just dropped the camp voice, and it's really deep, macho voice, and everyone turned around and said, what? And then he just went camp all of a sudden. I wish they played that more often, but...
And he drives, he's got flame powers and drives a race car.
And his cape looks fantastic as well.
Yeah, he's like a peacock, would you describe it as sort of a bit...
Yes. And the flames on the cape are constantly moving. They're constantly animated, I suppose, and that looks pretty cool. But yeah, he's all right. He's not my favourite.
And there's Dragon Kid, who's a Chinese tomboy who has lightning bolt powers.
She does very little.
Yeah, she's got one of the weaker spotlight episodes, I'd say. I don't know how well a lot of the female characters come across. I mean, but everybody else is barely sketched in for the most part as characters as well. So I think they still come off better than Rock Bison and Origami Cyclone do.
Origami's gone.
They played a lot of that. And my girlfriend looked into a lot of stuff with Origami. And apparently he's in a lot of individual frames and stuff in the background. It'll be like a tiny little image in the corner.
Yeah.
So the whole little trick of him posing, he's in loads more of the episodes than you think he is, but he's got that little track of being on screen in the background somewhere.
I did not know that, actually. See, I like him with your stage.
His character design not... But he's just like a sketch of a character. But that's what I'm saying. It's like you've got Dragon Kid's entire defining point is that she's a tomboy. There's not much more to her than that. Same with, say, Agnes, the producer, director of Hero TV.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
She's all her personality, entire personality is, we want ratings. There's not much more to her than that. But at the same time, there's not much more to some of the male characters either.
True.
She kind of reminds me of the, I can't remember, the female kind of captain in Neon Genesis. And I don't know why.
Who, the producer or Dragon
Kid?
Yeah,
the producer.
What's her name? Is it Masato?
Yeah. They just got this kind of whole similar thing going on. I suppose it's the I'm not going to say woman in charge, I've said it. the kind of, important, we're going to get this done sort of thing.
Strong... Female.
Strong, confident.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if it was Masato drink or Masato. Yeah. I don't know if the producer. Yeah, I don't know if the producer does in Tiger and Bunny, but I've got it in my head she does. I don't know.
No, I don't know. It would be interesting to get some of the non-superhero characters to get an individual episode on them. Say like a Agnes episode and a Doc Sato episode.
Oh God.
We should mention,
watch out and say.
Yeah, skip ahead to Doc Sato since I brought him up. he's the engineer who talks incredibly quietly.
And it's hilarious every time as well.
Except when he's got, except when he's talking over a radio or a microphone or something, which is the case he's got it turned up far too loud.
It's just one of the best bits.
I mean, he's an incredibly popular character. I mean, you said you can't get people to watch it, but the fact is, lots of people do watch it. So when I run Mad Stravaganza, I often put in a few clips which are like only a couple of weeks old. And a lot of those were Tiger and Bunny, and they still got a much bigger reaction than anything else I've ever done that with.
of
being a pretty fresh series, because I think loads of people are watching it still. So.
Oh, don't get us wrong when I say, like, the title puts people off. I'm just, like, talking about a select few. Like, I've got a friend who, he watches a lot of anime and stuff, but he just, I think he started watching it in the end, but at first he was against it. He said it sounded rubbish.
I think it's easy for people to be put off of something like Tiger and Bunny, which is brilliant, because we've had so many terrible hero animes or the Madhouse works recently.
Mm.
Like all the Iron Man and the X-Men and Blade. Actually, to be fair, I've not given Blade a chance, but they've just been pretty poor. And then, another hero anime, it's easy to make that assumption that it's not going to be good.
Mm. See, for me, Tiger and Bunny, I've got notes on this. Just when we first started the podcast, I hadn't watched anime in ages, and it was kind of strange to get back into it. And this was one of the first things that I watched that was new, so I was kind of, oh, you know. And I'm pleased. Like, it's for me, it feels nostalgic in a way. Maybe I'm being a bit too soft, but it's symbolic for the start of the podcast for me, this. Because this was one of the shows I wanted to see, and it turned out to be good. I was right that it was going to be good. So I'd say that.
It delivers all the way through. It doesn't really kind of... When you're watching it, you're just thinking, please don't let the end be bad. And I'm sure we'll talk about that later, but I just felt it delivered the whole way through. And it is just quality from start to finish. I don't know if there was too many lapsy bits. But it's just what you expect. It's a good, fun watch. Definitely worth it. I don't know, it's kind of, how do you sell something like that? Someone, like, when you want to say, just please watch it, you'll enjoy it. It's brilliant. It's kind of like panty and stocking.
I think one way people sell it is they say it's by the same guy who did Big O.
It's funny you mention that, because at the local anime society, they were throwing about ideas for things to watch, and I said, oh, Tiger and Bunny. And I was like, oh, the guy who did Big O worked on it and all this, and only one guy had seen Big O. And even I've seen Big O. I love Big O.
I'm just thinking of Niall.
Oh, Big O is fantastic.
It's like Batman if Batman had a giant robot.
Mm. It needs a third series as well.
And, it's not written the same writers, but the same director, and it's similar. I mean, particularly the Sky High episode with his girlfriend. She looks a lot like our Dorothy.
Yes, yeah.
From Big O. Mm.
So
Rock Bison is, we've mentioned him, he's like this. Another sign that they were beginning to pander to their audience is that he, in the second half of the series, for the second arc, he undoes some buttons on his shirt for the rest of the series. So you get to see his hairy chest all the way through.
Do they make kind of this obvious, or is it discreet?
Oh, no.
I don't remember.
Well, he doesn't physically do it, but it's just all of a sudden in, like, episode 14, opening sequence. Oh, there's Rock Bison's hairy chest.
Oh. It's got men for everyone.
And, even his solo episode, he's barely the focus of it himself. It's the closest one is the one where he thinks that, they start mistaking wild tigers' look for competence. And everyone thinks he's great.
Mm.
And, yeah, he's in danger of losing his job, isn't he? That's the...
Yeah. Oh, Rock Bison.
And then the last one is Origami Cyclone.
Which I like this guy. His power seems... You don't find out his power for a long time. I don't know what episode it comes into it, but a lot of the other characters are pretty obvious what they can do, and Origami Cyclone never really does much for hero TV. He never really catches the villains or anything. But Wakua, he can become anyone, change his appearance to look like anyone, sound like anyone, and I think that's a pretty cool power.
It's pretty good, but once it's done, it served its plot purpose. He kind of fades back into the background again in the second half of the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he has a... Well, not him, but his power has a nice moment.
Yeah.
But well, it's not that good, but it's pretty interesting when it finally comes back. That's later on in the series, so I'll not mention that.
Yeah. Then other characters who pop up. Well, the big one who's in the opening credits right from the start is the character Lunatic. And this calls back also to sort of 1970s in that all these superheroes are pretty straightforward, dodging the wall heroic superheroes, especially Wild Tiger, who sort of, he would be a DC Comics or Marvel superhero from the 1960s in his worldview. And we find out why that is. But Lunatic is sort of the 1970s superhero. He's the anti-hero, who's the Punisher.
Yeah.
He's the guy. I mean, this is the other thing, because we've obviously got one David Soul character represented by Barnaby Brooks, and in a way, Lunatic is the David Soul character from the Dirty Harry film Magnum Force.
I know what you mean.
I won't go into it at the moment, because that would be spoiling his identity, but... if you know Magnum Force, that sort of gives you sort of what he's doing.
And he's a badass.
Yeah, and the general villains in this organisation called Ouroboros, which is the one clue Barnaby has to his parents' murder is the tattoo on the hand of the murderer showing a snake eating its own tail.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that's the big mystery of the series is... what is
who
all
they are, what they do.
Yeah.
Hmm. And then...
yeah, spot characters, we mentioned Agnes, we mentioned Dr. Saito. There's Ben Jackson, who used to be Katetsu's boss, and now has to drive a cab around, because basically Tiger put him out his company out of business.
By not getting enough.
Well, no, it's not that. It was all the fines he incurred.
Oh,
like in the first episode, Tiger's just a complete train wreck. He just shows up and he bends all the roads and everything like that. And that's one of the big things for the series, just Tiger shows up and for all his heroicness, he just screws up all the time.
Oh, he's a nice guy, Ben Jackson.
There's Albert Maverick, who is responsible for Hero TV and the sponsor of Wild Tiger and Barnaby. His right-hand man, Alexander Lloyds.
Who's that? I can't...
He's the guy who, sort of, first half of the series is always telling Katetsu off.
Oh, yes, I know who you mean. I know who you mean now. Yeah.
It's Cardo.
Daughter, which we've mentioned, really.
Yeah, and in the background there's Mr. Legend, the first superhero.
Yeah.
See, Mr. Legend reminds me of, do you remember the game Beautiful Joe? And is it, what's his name, Captain Hero, whatever his name is, and Beautiful Joe just reminds me of that character.
I never played the game or anything, but I know the kind of character design and the look. I know what you mean. Yeah, and he's kind of important to the story. He inspired Tiger to become a... well, he was already a next anyway, but to use his powers for good. And should we mention what else he does, or...?
We'll mention that later when we get to the spoilers.
Right, okay.
Best thing. The things I wanted to mention were... I think I mentioned on a previous episode that a lot of the writers come from a theatre background rather than an anime background. This is pretty much the first big anime show they've written on. The main writers also done some sitcom stuff as well, but it was like a live theatre-like sitcom, so it was all live, all in one set, about a women's volleyball team of, sort of made up of mums, if I remember correctly. and he's also done the wrestling film, the wrestling film called Gachi Boy. Cancer drama, Fireworks from the Heart. Yeah, and here we go. Yeah, volleyball sitcom. Yeah, about a team of mums and their coach who's secretly married to one of them.
Mm, maybe want to check out something to pass the time with.
Oh, I missed that one.
I think that's part of the reason why it seems a bit different from your standard anime fare is it's got people who are writing to a different sort of formula than your average one. And the character designer is worth mentioning because he's got another superhero show coming out soon. And, oh, Gordon Bennett, I can never remember his name because I missed this first time round.
What's the name of the show that's...
Zetman, based on...
Oh, okay.
Masakazu Katsura did the designs here, and his manga, Zetman's, being adapted into an anime next year.
An interesting one, because that started as a one-shot that I read 10-plus years ago, and then apparently a manga came out of it. I never knew about it until recently.
Yeah, it was early 2000s, so it was a full series, and it's pretty good. I'm not sure quite. I imagine it might be a bit watered down for TV because there's stuff on there I can't see them putting straight onto TV.
Have we mentioned this before?
I think we have.
Right, because I've just Googled it because I couldn't remember, and it looks familiar. I'm sure I've looked at it before.
Yeah, it's kind of like a cross between Devilman, Batman, and Iron Man.
I can see all those little aspects in a picture of Zetman.
Yeah, pretty much. And the other superhero character, you'll see the other aspects as well. He's like an armoured guy whose costume looks sort of part Iron Man, part Batman.
That looks so badass, actually. I may have to read that. That looks badass.
Zetman's, the one shot was brilliant. I remember it being, like I said, Batman, but it was also just really dark and quite gory. I like my darker stuff. I like my stuff with the background, as you know. That's one I'm going to check out, actually. It's going on my list.
Yeah, it's coming in April. So I look forward to seeing that myself. I think that's everything I wanted to mention before we move on to spoilers.
I've got some general notes that I've made in preparation, so I should have mentioned some stuff earlier. But I think some of the stuff that stood out to me with the show is just, it's very well animated, and what you don't see in much anime, it takes a sort of different approach when you look at the main characters, or a lot of characters, it does a red outline of them.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you know, I just like those little effects, and CG blends in pretty well with everything, and if it doesn't get cheap at any point, or maybe I don't notice if it does get cheap at any point,
but
a different art style works.
Yeah, it's not the best thing animated this year, but I don't think it ever gets cheap. I think you sometimes see the limits of what they're working with at certain points. But yeah, I think it's particularly the final episodes, I think there's some really good sequences, and even really good sequences of stuff which are pretty banal, really. I think just there's a sequence where somebody's looking into a computer monitor and you're getting the light reflected back on his face. Mm. And I thought that looked really good for just something which could just so easily be pretty boring.
Yeah. So I do like the whole red outline thing. I do think it looks pretty good. But it seems an interesting choice, and I would like to know their inspiration for it or reasoning behind
it. It's in Summer Wars, and I think it might be in the other film made by the same people. I don't know if that person worked on Tiger Money.
Right, because it does look good, don't get us wrong, but it seems like a strange choice. I don't know, maybe it's like a thing that just makes things stand out or something, or it looks better when they're moving with a red. I don't know, I'm not an animator personally, but it seems like an interesting choice.
I think they only do it on the main characters or the main focus that you're looking at as well. So you only see it on the main heroes or the main villain or the vehicle or something like that.
Yeah.
And then when you're looking at a normal scene, it's normal. So it must be just to really just catch your eye and just make it stand out subconsciously, or make you think, oh, why is it, maybe they do it to mess with you, or why is it in red?
I think the other thing is, I think when it's at standard definition, it looks like a black line.
Ah, right. See, I tend to watch good quality stuff if I can help it, so. But, I don't really download SD stuff. Or stream SD stuff. But yeah, I would like to see this on Blu-ray, actually. I would like to. Because I'm just reading now that apparently there's going to be a Blu-ray. And I don't see why not, because everyone will probably buy it, judging from the success of the bloody figures. Which seems crazy, but, well, not that crazy. People buy anything. Yeah.
I don't buy much, but this would be one of the series that I want to buy. Like, I have my DVD collection of anime is very small, taken up with all the Ghost in the Shell stuff. But I think this and Panton Stock will be the only stuff I'm planning to buy, really. It's got a rewatch value to it, but not a lot of stuff.
See, does. I can see myself possibly rewatching it, but I think it's early to say, because it feels like yesterday since I watched it. So give it a year or so, and then I'll see if I want to rewatch it.
It's like Ghost in the Shell. When you rewatch it, you enjoy it, but you don't want to watch it within a few moments. You want to let it play with you.
Kind of let you forget a little bit. Mm. Yeah.
The other thing I looked into was just Sunrise. I think that's maybe why I liked it a lot more. So I looked up Sunrise and said, "Oh, they're known as smooth Sunrise animation style." And then I looked at just sort of some of the other series they did, and I'm quite a big fan of Gundam 00, which is probably where they get their female fan base from, actually, as well. Because 00 had a huge female fan base with sort of Tieria and some of the other characters being quite sort of fishy, and the fan art and stuff like that is awful from my girlfriend, unfortunately. But then I didn't realize how much other stuff Sunrise did. So I knew about Gundam, but
yeah,
a lot of amazing stuff.
Yeah, they outrun like multiple studios, and this was one which I don't think they were expecting to be a success. I think it caught them by surprise, because if you look at some of the other stuff they put out this year, it's got better animation, but it's not necessarily better written.
Mm.
I'm trying to think what's the Kamen Rider type one? Can't remember the name.
Sacred? No, I'm not.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Sacred Sword, I think, is this?
Sacred Seven, is it?
But that's got about bored of that very fast. I think it is Sacred Seven. I think it is. It is. And I got bored of that very quick.
Yeah, I did. But the fighting animation is really good. It does. It's got much better fighting animation than Tiger and Bunny's got. But
it's got a nice scarf, the blood around, and
it's stuck to a much more boring and typical series. I'm just looking at HLJ and the merchandise for Tiger and Bunny that they've got, and how much of it's out of stock or we've not taken any more orders.
Because I remember you mentioning the tiger cap, because he wears a flat cap. I remember you saying they were going to release that not just like a cheap toy crap version, but an actual well-made, worth-wearing version. Did that ever come out, or?
I think it's out. It's either just come out, or it's out. I think they've given it a price now. Tiger and Bunny.
Because Lewis is going to go to Japan. Well, I was about to say, you're going to go to Japan, and everyone in Japan is going to be wearing a flat cap or some bunny-style glasses. Oh, that would crack
me. Find bunny glasses.
Oh, don't. Don't. Oh.
You know, HLJ have got Barnaby's jacket out order stop, and that was going for
500 quid.
No, not quite that much. Only £176.
Is it not proper leather?
I guarantee it's going to be made of the. It's going to be
sewed together.
Practically terrible.
It does not visually say what it's made out of. I can send you a picture on the Skype.
Yeah, I'd like to see this.
Messaging.
Lewis is going to have one of these on next con. Guaranteed. Barnaby's Rider's jacket. See, I do respect to the way Tiger. Oh God, look at that! I love Tiger's dress sense. I love the whole flat cap waistcoat thing. Looks pretty smart. And this jacket. See, that to me just looks like a cosplay accessory, not so much a.
It looks too short as well.
It suits the girl. There's a picture of like a female wearing it, and it's a lot more female friendly, I think. Oh God! If you come back from Japan with one of those, Lewis.
I know my spending money's limited. I'll be spending it mostly on food and enjoying stuff. I'm not planning to come back with loads of crazy stuff. Maybe a couple.
Well, it's sold out, I think, anyway. So.
Oh yes, the hat came out in September, apparently.
Ooh.
7,800 yen. Which is about $102.
Jeez Louise.
But it's got his signature on it.
Who, Tiger's signature?
Yes.
Well, I could do that.
I was going to joke if it had that. But it doesn't make it a genuine replica then, because he signed it.
I'm a sucker for signatures, so...
of fictional people.
Especially fictional people, let's see. See, that looks... Oh, I don't know, actually. I do like the little touch with the signature. That looks pretty good.
Yeah, I think some of our friends could make you something like that for 50 quid.
It actually looks a lot better than I thought. Hats off and all that.
Yeah, so all the sort of things they got here are... Or you can get your tiger and bunny... arm pillow sheet.
So arm can, pillow sheet?
Yes. So,
oh,
no. So you can go to bed with tiger or bunny and they can hug you while you go to sleep.
Ah, right. Well, so you can just use a regular pillow to do that because I sleep with my eyes closed. I don't care what it looks like when I've got my eyes shut. Those
pillows are like they're big things that you can hug onto with your whole body.
Wow.
Yeah, they've also got, like, these ones are for, like, ones with an arm sticking out, so.
Oh, right, I see.
This plays on the girl fan base massively.
You can also get...
I bet there's a lot of boys who get it as well, so don't...
Tiger and Bunny beer mug.
Oh, that's more like it. Because there's a lot of scenes in the bar. So I would feel that was in the Stern Build bar.
Yeah, it's like a sports bar, but superhero themed, isn't it?
Mm. These pillow things are hilarious. Oh, man. Oh, they don't even look like material. It's like a dodgy artist's interpretation of how it'll look like.
You might be.
I love how Tiger's got his shirt undone and he's had a hard day at fighting villains. He's a bit Kip. I bet Kat buys one of them. Lewis's girlfriend. Lewis gets kicked out of bed for Barnaby Brooks Jr.
I want to find a picture of one in the thing.
These pillows.
I think they've only shown the sample pictures now. I don't think you can see them in the flesh yet.
Oh, they're sold out. Nobody can see them. They're all sold out.
Yeah, your SH figure arts are all sold out. So you get, but you, if you can find them, you can get a wild tiger, a Barnaby Brooks Jr., a Sky High, and a Rock Bison.
I think I might take my chance in Akihabara and try and get one second hand from. There's a shop there that sells loads of stuff. Spent way too much money there before.
Oh, you'll be wasting your money. You'll pay too much for it.
No, I've still got loads of the stuff now. I've got, from last time, about tenner.
This is Tiger and Bunny we're talking about. This is massive.
I was going to say, the stuff which is on pre-order. Let's just go through here. I don't know what those are. Something for PC accessories. A little blue rose, like a chibi action figure. Keychains. Papercraft kits.
There's something about anime merchandise in regards to keychains. Why are they always so overpriced for a keychain at a convention, especially? Perhaps
you know what makes
your own question.
When you're actually in Japan, they're in 100 yen machines, and then you see them over here, and they're like £5. So when you consider a few years ago, 100 yen was like 60p.
Yeah, it's not... I mean, I've not bought anything from HRJ ever since the yen suddenly got stronger. And it was suddenly not quite so... everything wasn't quite so bargain-priced. I was going to buy a Space Adventure Cobra Psycho Gun. Thing you could put on your arm to pretend to be a Cobra. But then the yen went up, shifted like between the 3 months after before me ordering it and when I was going to get it, so I had to cancel.
Oh, how old were you when you got when you were going to get this?
Let me think. 32?
I love it. Oh, God.
It was really cheap when I ordered it. It was less cheap when I would have had to pay for it. It was like, it was only been 7 quid when I ordered it, but...
And still got it.
Anything for more than 10 quid, and it was, oh dear. This sort of thing, Lewis's showing me their otaku rooms. I get a lot of hits on Awesome Engine for my otaku rooms article that I did under the
which I've read, and it's very amusing.
Under the disguise of the junior anthropology.
I've copied the amount of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, anyway.
Moving on. Bunny. Let's start
discussing merchandise and wasting money.
Let's start spoiling the story. So
yes, finally.
If you don't want spoilers,
I really think
you haven't seen it, stop now.
Yeah.
And join us next time.
Goodbye, Leon.
But if you want to know what the show's really like, keep listening. Keep listening. Right.
Okay.
So first, where we're starting from.
First arc. Right.
Yeah.
So
it's the start.
Yeah, the villains for the first arc are
Jake Martinez.
Yes. And Cream.
Very visually entertaining to look at, I suppose. I don't know how to describe it better than that, but Martinez has got his multicoloured hair and topless aside an open trench coat. And does he have any tattoos?
Yeah, loads of tattoos, I think. Let's see if I think last time we brought him up, I did mention whether or not anyone was going to cosplay him. Let's see if anyone has.
We'll be interested to see some Jake cosplays.
It's kind of a bit of an effort. It's going to have to be made.
Please tell me there's some.
I can't see any. Yeah, I mean, people, if to do it properly, people are going to get asked questions when they go back into work the next day.
I can't remember who, is that? Somebody's done a one here, but I think it's when he's younger.
Does he have
black hair when he's younger?
Yes, he's a bit more sensible. Yeah, is this the one on Cosplay Island?
I'm just on Google Images. It's a Japanese guy and a Japanese girl.
Quite surprised because one of our friends has done it.
Really?
Mm. Dan.
Oh, well, blast a link and we'll have a look. But he is a very flamboyant character.
Yes.
Visually.
Yeah.
And as for Kareem, probably the same. She's got an interesting look about her once again. But yeah, what's Martinez's power?
He can, I'm trying to remember what he does. He repels things, doesn't he? He's got force fields. And he's also got a second power, which is the big twist. It's like people have never come across anybody who'd got two powers before. Yeah. And he's got telepathy, which allows him to read people's minds to find out what they're going to do to him just before they do it to him.
And I predicted this. Probably many other people did as well. But
yes. I think they did a foreshadowing. Did you predict that? And obviously, he's beaten due to Tiger's incompetence and luck.
Yeah.
Is that... because he can only defeat attacks that he can read. So they discover this when Tiger accidentally hurts him by doing something entirely by accident.
Does his boot come off or something like that? Or is that
no, he passes out and then, so as he's fighting him, he just passes out and then stumbles over, somersaults and kicks him in the head.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then Jay goes mad because it's like the first time he's ever been hurt.
Which is weird. But yeah, he's a bit of a badass. As villains, well, early villains go, He's a pretty good character, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of been set up, but at the same time, he's clearly a bad man as well.
Yeah.
He's the guy who Barnaby suspects killed his parents, but as it turns out, he was being framed. And he's broken out of jail, but I mean, the one really great bit about it is everybody's going, "Ah, oh, what is Ouroboros? We're about to find out what Ouroboros is." He's woken up from this coma. Has he been in a coma?
And I think he's just been in prison.
He's just been in prison again. Yeah, Barnaby's finally discovered that this is the guy. He's off to prison to find out what Ouroboros is. And as he's on the way to prison, Ouroboros attack the city. In a huge air balloon. It's like, all of a sudden, Ouroboros isn't a mystery at all. It's right there in front of their faces, even before he's got a chance to find out what was going on. Which I just thought is a great, great bit of writing, because it's like, they set you up expecting one thing, and you get something completely different. Yeah, so Cream is sort of a gothic Lolita girl who Jake had kidnapped at one point, and then discovered that her parents didn't bother ransoming her.
That's right, yeah. So he decides to show sympathy and keep her, so to speak.
And her
what's her power? Can she give life to teddy bears? I'm not sure the...
Her hair can animate inanimate objects.
That's a better way of putting it.
Because later in the capture, they shave all her hair off to prevent her from escaping. And, yeah, they're next supremacists, is the other thing, is they think nects are superior to humans and therefore they should be in charge.
And they are, really. Humans don't have special abilities, so I suppose the nects are superior. But yeah, I like those two, Jake and Cream. I think they're a good bunch, a good pair.
Yeah, I mean, Jake gets the typical supervillain death. I don't think they don't find a body, do they? But he appears to be killed.
See, I can't remember how he apparently dies.
A helicopter falls on him.
Oh, right.
Did they get a backstory for Jake? I think they might have done like a small one, but I was just thinking they did quite a big one for Cream, and then they didn't really do much for Jake. They still left that in.
Well, I think they kind of both element. Combined in a sense, as Brian was saying about her when she was a kid and stuff. But...
Yeah, but you don't get much of him before he kidnapped her.
No.
So I think they could bring him back. His death's sort of, because of his power,
ambiguous.
He could feasibly, escape the helicopter falling off.
I hope he did, because he's good and he's
probably tough. Like read the pilot's mind thinking, I'll just grab hold of the helicopter, I know where he's going to point it or something stupid.
Or he could be turned into a cyborg.
Maybe he grabs some hair.
Because I think he was already a bit of him was missing, because his leg was a mechanical prosthetic. Apparently, which I missed watching the series.
I don't remember that getting...
It did, maybe, I think, briefly. But that makes sense if they bring him back as a cyborg with the later story stuff.
Yeah, because later on they introduce sort of robotics research into the storyline. She wants to mention Lunatic a bit more here. So while a lot of the earlier episodes is just sort of like individual stories of Tiger and Bunny bonding... And then, like, little stories of the various other superheroes. Specific Blue Rose, I think, in the first half gets her story. Dragon Kid and Origami Cyclone.
Hmm.
I like the fact that as the series goes with Blue Rose as well, it kind of develops from this kind of I hate you, Tiger, to I think I might like you, or I'm not sure what's going on, I'm a teenager, that kind of stuff.
Yes. Yeah, so eventually...
I love that part of the story, actually, that little... side relationship. It's sweet. Yeah. It's sweet.
Her hatred of him sort of turns into a one-sided crush that Tiger is completely oblivious to. and completely oblivious that he might actually be accidentally encouraging it.
See, on that logic of you hate someone to begin with and then you fall in love, I'm due for a lot of girls falling in love. I'm going to be due for this. The swarm of women...
Is this your plan for Keita?
Yeah. Oh, if only.
Eligible young chap, why not?
Thank you, Lewis, thank you. But no, I think that's a very sweet moment, the kind of realisation that... Because I suppose all the heroes together, they're kind of a bit of a... Like, they're a family and stuff. It's sweet.
Very sweet. I don't think Fire Emblem gets his own episode, does he, really?
No, I think it's tied in with, like, he gets a bit of screen time, but he doesn't get
an emotional support mechanism for Tiger, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I notice he's, one thing I'm looking at these notes on Wikipedia, is apparently he is his own sponsor.
Oh, right.
What?
He owns Helios Energy, the company who fund him.
When did I ever explain that?
I don't know. It could be in those drama CDs and stuff as well, so that might be all in that.
I hate that when they explain side things with a special edition DVD.
Yes, a lunatic is secretly, as we hinted, he's a vigilante, not part of Hero TV. He is Yuri Petrov, who is in charge of the administration of justice in Sternbild City. He's their judge. So he's the guy who is supposed to be maintaining the law, but he's also secretly going out and murdering criminals.
And I remember when... Concept. Sorry, Lewis, go on, what?
I was going to say, I just like the whole concept of...
You dislike it?
I like the concept.
Oh, sorry.
I wish we'd seen a bit more of him, but I didn't like the way sometimes it's, lunatics killed a bunch of people, but they showed it sometimes, and sometimes they didn't. I feel like he's almost like a secondary main character. I wish there was more of him, and I hope there is more in the future, which I'm sure we'll get onto.
Hopefully. Yeah, we should also mention he's... important plot point, which they didn't make much of, but it's an important point in terms of what happens to Tiger, is that he's the son of Mr. Legend, and as his powers were appearing, then Mr. Legend's were fading, and it turned out Mr. Legend was a fairly horrible person when he wasn't being a superhero, and ended up burning Lunatic's face with his fire powers that Lunatic was also getting.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that they did that. When you said that he was losing the powers as his son was gaining them, and they did exactly the same thing with Katatsu and his daughter.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's...
Spoilers.
Yeah, well, yeah, so obviously... near the end of this...
Hopefully not a huge spoiler.
Well, we'll talk about it anyway.
Yeah, we're in the spoiler section anyway. But in the second arc, Katetsu starts losing his powers, and it turns out that his daughter's gaining her powers in a sort of a mirror to what happened with Lunatic and Mr. Legend.
It's pretty dark, the whole Mr. Legend thing, because he's beaten up his wife, which is Lunatic's mother, and that's what leads Lunatic to snap and release his full power. And does it kill Mr. Legend at that point, or...?
Don't think so, no.
He does. I'm sure he does set him on fire, though. Or whatever the blue flame is.
I'm trying to remember what it is. Yuri adopted... The handprint design on Lunatic's mask is a reminder of the burn he got in... Oh, no, he did kill his father. Yes, you're right.
And it's pretty dark, that, really. Because I think just, like the show's light-hearted and stuff, and then some little bits like that, and that's really...
Oh, yeah, that's okay. I'm getting it right, wrong in my head before, yeah. So he set fire to his dad, and then his dad's burning hand burned.
That's right,
yeah.
And when Lunatic first turns up in the series, because I was enjoying the series, obviously, but then when he turns up, it's like, oh, what's going to happen here? And I was really excited when he first turns up, and the sky is all dark, and it's like the moon turns red, which is, I think, just a coincidence.
Yeah.
But,
well, I don't know. It's, I wouldn't necessarily, considering it's the Big O guy, I'm not sure whether it is necessarily just a coincidence. But I have more on that later, because I need to double check. I'm a bit rusty on what Big O's plot is, but...
Oh, I haven't watched the original series in years, and even that, I missed a lot of them due to it being on Cartoon Network and stuff.
Episode's 2 minutes.
I do like the second series a lot, though, with Big O. But what is... Lunatic's power exactly? Can he just...
It generates blue-green flame. Yeah. So first half deals with Jake Martinez. Helicopter falls on him, then you get a time skip of a few months where Wild Tiger is now popular. Everybody loves Wild Tiger. He's no longer the outcast superhero who destroys things. And... what happens early on in that series? Oh, we get Blue Rose starts to fall in love with him when she has to teach him how to dance for a single they're putting out?
Yeah, or like some promotional thing, definitely. Yeah, she sings on it in their dance, I think. Something silly. Something.
And then Barnaby's memory starts playing up. where the memory he had of Jake Martinez starts to fade and...
Yeah, because Barnaby has this dream, this recurring dream of where he sees a silhouette killing his parents.
And... Oh, yeah, it's triggered when Cream points out that he couldn't have killed Barnaby's parents because he was busy kidnapping her at the time.
I suppose we've not spoken about Barnaby too much in the show so far. Obviously, we've sort of introduced him, but one of the points is, as the series starts, Tiger and Bunny, they don't really get on too much. And as we get to the sort of midpoint where I think we're talking about now, they start to have that sort of trust relationship seems to come into it more.
Yeah, which is symbolised when they go and buy the 1978 Christmas badge that you see at the start, in the starting credits, which I was always wondering, why is there a badge in 1978 that they're reaching for in the starting credits?
I don't remember that in the credits.
Well, it's not in the second set of credits, I don't think, but it's once the badge is introduced. Oh,
right. But so yeah, that's even more stranger.
But yeah, the first 13 episodes, the starting credits ends with them sort of reaching up either side of the screen, trying to grasp a little...
Pin.
Yeah, pin with a Christmas tree in 1978 written on it.
Hmm.
But as it turns out, that pin is incredibly important to the plot.
Massively.
Because it turns out that the reason his memories aren't correct is because they're implanted by Albert Maverick, the head of Hero TV. Who was in fact responsible for murdering Barnaby's parents in order to turn Barnaby into a superhero.
Seems a bit of a lot of... It's a lot of work for just a superhero. I thought the show was start... I didn't know what direction it was going to take at this point before this. And then as all this starts coming about with the memory loss and the fact that Maverick can create memories or take away people's memories as he pleases, I was like, oh, this is starting to get good. This is getting really good. Because one of the things is he convinces all the heroes and all the producers, Agnes, that Tiger has killed...
Samantha. Barnaby's nanny. Because basically Barnaby and Tiger start to put the clues together and... It looks like they're about to... I mean, they haven't figured it out that it's Maverick.
But they're coming close.
Barnaby goes to talk to him and explain what they've discovered. Because, yeah, this Christmas tree and this badge, a previous one didn't quite match up to... There was evidence that didn't match Barnaby and Samantha's memories to this photograph. And so he's the next two and he's got the power to wipe people's memories. So he murders.
He's a sleazy character. He's a sleazy man.
So he murders Samantha, and meanwhile, Kotetsu's powers are beginning to disappear, as we mentioned before, and he can't quite find the right time to tell Barnaby that he's going to stop being a superhero and go back home.
I love the way they've rolled out the story with his whole powers fading. I wish they'd have done something where he got his big power up again, though. So, like, the first time Kotetsu's powers fade, he gets, like, this big, massive sort of burst of energy, and he runs really quick and misses the mark, and then he helps Rock Bison and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's got the same amount of power, but it's condensed into a smaller amount of time, so his boost is actually bigger than Barnaby's is, but it doesn't last as long.
Mm. But then, I don't know if I'm sidetracked, so sorry, but it's when they start, because of Tiger's powers start fading, they start exploring his backstory more and really explaining his stuff, and I like the stuff with his brother as well.
Yeah, his brother's, his brother and his, is his mother or his mother-in-law?
I think it's his mother, I'm pretty sure it's actually his mother.
They seem like the most normal human beings in the show. Because they act sensibly, don't fly off the handle. Around this time, his daughter starts getting her powers, which are the ability to emulate anybody's powers who she touches.
Which is a pretty...
Eater from Heroes.
Yeah.
I've never watched Heroes, so...
Yeah, because she copies his powers and then copies somebody who's got a fire power. Is it sets fire to something in town or something. That's when they discover that it's not... So anyway, something happens, she bumps into somebody in town and copies their powers as well, and...
She goes, like, magnetic, and yeah.
Yeah, that magnetic, that's it, yeah. That's when they discover it's not just that she's got... Because at first it looks like that she's got the same power that Tiger's got. But it's actually just her copying. Because that's an important plot, because when she learns that her dad's wanted for murder, she sets off to Stonebuild City on her own.
And how old's she meant to be?
10 or 11 at this point, I think.
And she's got the hots for Barnaby.
Yes.
Hots in the way that an 11-year-old girl...
But at this point, she's also realised that her dad's...
pretty cool and not a loser.
Yeah.
Which she thinks he is.
Maverick makes the tiny flaw of touching this girl on the shoulder when she looks lost, not knowing who she is at all. Because basically Maverick's having to sort of put a plan together on the fly at this point. It's not...
Ken. Which is a great plan, I think. I think it's a great part of the series where everyone's like the sea tiger and oh, there he is, he killed Samantha.
Well, yeah, because they think Katetsu's killed. They think they work with Wild Tiger and they've never known his identity.
That's right, yeah.
And they just think this guy called Katetsu is the murderer. But yeah, so Cardi accidentally gets Maverick's powers and so can return all their memories back to normal.
And that's what she does. And everything's all well for a short while.
So instead, Maverick has to send an android dressed in a new Wild Tiger's new suit.
So the android's made by the creator of the android that Sky High falls in love with earlier in the series.
Yes.
She turns mental and they destroy the android.
And he turns out...
That's the backstory there.
And he turns out to be a human supremacist who hates Nexts.
Mm-hmm. And it turned out that the android research is from Barnaby's parents that they were working on to protect the sea.
And yeah, we also learn that Maverick has basically been... most of the criminals who they round up are being paid by Maverick to commit the crimes in the first place, which was how Mr. Legend became a superhero in the first place.
It's all intertwined.
Well, yeah, this is the good thing about White being Ouroboros as the name of the organisation, is because he turns out to be part of Ouroboros, and so it's actually the snake eating its own tail.
Yeah. Do you actually see a tattoo of the snake on Maverick or not?
I can't remember seeing it, no.
Be a bit difficult, because the only skin you ever see of this is his face and his hands.
Yeah.
True.
So I have to say, when the other Wild Tiger turned up, I was expecting it to be Jake inside the armour.
I never thought of that, you see.
I wasn't expecting an android, because I just written that off as being a nice one episode, throwaway tragedy episode about Sky High and his robot girlfriend, who wasn't even his girlfriend at all. It's just...
No, she just happened to...
He was just imbuing her with personality traits she didn't really have.
That's a sad moment. Poor Sky High.
It is, because
he's Sky High.
Yeah. It is. Poor chap.
Yeah.
So this Rotwang guy is the used to work with Barnaby's parents.
And
yeah.
I think that's about it, really. Obviously there's stuff going on at the same time and people are being captured and for that point anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, yeah, there's a death trap. There's poor containing of young girls with superpowers. that's pretty much it. Yeah. So there's the penultimate episode makes it look like Wild Tiger's been killed.
Which is
I saw you tweeting. You were tweeting badly when you saw that happen.
See, I've got a lot of opinions surrounding that, but I'll wait till we're finished talking about what actually happens, how it ends, etc.
Yeah. So yeah, Maverick lets Rotman die because hey, he's a next as well. He has no use for people who want to kill all nexts. Mm-hmm. But when he's finally confronted by Agnes, the heroes. Ben, Dr. Sato, he uses his powers on himself and wipes his mind, and then Lunatic kills him. But yeah, it's hinted that he's not the point at which Ouroboros stops. There's other people.
You see, like, I don't know what the stern build currency is, but it drops into a puddle of water or something.
Yeah.
In the epilogue and the...
It dissolves to show Ouroboros.
It does what the other series does, C. With the money.
Oh, yeah. It's got that same money dissolving effect thing. Yeah. Hmm. Must be in at the minute. But yeah, so everything's intertwined.
Yeah, so what did you want to say about this ending?
Well, at the time of watching, I legitimately thought Tiger was dead. And at the time, I was like, oh, you can't kill Tiger off because Tiger's awesome. So I was kind of relieved that they didn't, but at the same time annoyed. Because I'm going to be honest, as much as I enjoy the show on the whole, I'm not that excited for anything more. So in my eyes, I think they could have ended it at the end, like at the end of this series, somehow tied it up a bit better with no loose ends, but having killed Tiger off. I think it would have showed a lot of, like, not bold for the writers, but like, I don't know. I would have liked to have seen him killed off, but at the same time I wouldn't because I like him. But from like a storytelling point of view, I would have liked to have seen him killed off. Does anybody agree with that or not?
Yes and no.
Go ahead.
I think if they'd have killed him, I'd have enjoyed it, and it would have been a good way to end the series.
Mm, and it would have been such a solid series.
But they know that, and that's why they didn't kill him.
True.
I it was also a Piccolo-style death, killing Goku sort of element. And
oh, yeah, I suppose it was, yeah.
And it's sort of in keeping with the rest of the show is that he wasn't actually dead, it's just that they weren't properly checking that he was dead. They were just assuming that a dead signal was that he was dead rather than the thing which was keeping the signal going.
Yeah.
Had died.
But don't get me wrong, I would have been like, wow, they killed him off. I did not expect that. But it didn't happen.
Yeah, I do wonder if they would have killed him off if it hadn't been as popular. But, got to keep on going. I mean, because the other thing we forgot to mention is that while he retires at the end of the series, in the epilogue, a year later, he's come back as a ridiculously euphemistic nickname, Wild Tiger 1 Minute. And he works with the B-Team heroes, who we briefly get introduced to in early in the second half of the series. Like the junior heroes.
Yeah. I do like that actually.
I was going to say, at the end, it's after, so Tiger was planning on to retire, and then he actually retires after the fight, and then Barnaby just disappears off as well.
Yeah.
And I like that kind of, in the epilogue, Barnaby shows up saying, you know, we're a team. I like that kind of, that conclusion that they're finally properly trusting each other.
Yeah, the buddies.
But should they have killed him off? We'll never know. Well, we will know if something else comes along following the story. And it's rubbish, which I've read that there's going to be a film.
There's two films.
Two films, Jesus.
I was going to ask Brian to elaborate on this, because I literally just saw it today. I've not had a chance to read about it.
Yeah, it was in November. They were going to do a special announcement to say what the next project was, and it was two films. I don't think there's much more information than that.
I do like the idea of two films better than another series.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether they're new films or whether they're going to be sort of...
they're going to do one as a recap and one as a new film.
I wouldn't be surprised. Because it makes sense to do it. Financially, it makes sense to do a recap and then a new film, because a recap can... The recap will sell loads of tickets just purely based on the fan base, and it will draw in more people into the fan base.
Oh, it makes perfect sense to do it, definitely.
What happened at this? I'm on the Wikipedia page. It says the production of two films based on series announced during a special event on November 13th, 2011. What was this special event?
Apparently, they gathered people up in the day and said, right, we're doing a film. And then on the same day, they did a nighttime gathering and said, right, we're doing a film. And they asked nobody to mention it.
It was a Hero Awards 2011, which apparently the event itself will also be on Blu-ray.
I hope it's really kind of in the style of the show, and it's, oh, that'd be really funny, actually. I wonder if that's anywhere on the internet yet.
Yeah, I can only see, the only page I've got is like, sort of sold out saying, can't see any actual report of it. Beyond
the... You had to be annexed to attend.
Mention of the films being done. Yeah, I think that's it on that front.
So, what do you two want from the story now? Because I'm intrigued. Because I don't know what I want, whether I want it, but...
I mean... Gritty.
I mean, it's going to
go straight to the robber. Sorry.
Yeah. It's all well, that's okay. I mean, because I'm going to say, because it's gonna, obviously going to be in their version of 1980 probably next. So, yeah, he probably needs to start reflecting sort of that era's superheroes. So I think, yeah, it's probably the time to go into Lunatic.
Yeah. So you don't think Tiger will be a prominent character? Because I know, obviously, at the end of the series, he's messing about with the rubbish heroes doing...
Oh, I'm sure he will. I'm sure they'll focus on Tiger and Bunny. But I think we'll get more focus on Lunatic than we perhaps were expecting in the first series. I mean, what I was expecting was Tiger to die. And then for to do a massive leap and put...
Lunatic and Bunny.
No, have Carday as... new Tiger.
Yes, yeah.
And have Barnaby as the older character then.
Oh, you're onto something there, Brian. I tell you, you're onto something there. I'm not kidding. That's,
That's what
that's what should have happened. That's
at the point where I thought he was going to be dying, that's where I thought he was heading towards.
I don't think there's any reason it couldn't happen. I mean, if they went down the route of doing one movie a few years and one movie 10 years down the line.
Yeah, I think they've got plenty of scope to do all sorts of stuff with the characters, and I'm sure they will until it stops being popular.
Which, at the moment, looking at the merchandise sales, that's it's very Ouroboros. It's going to keep going. But no, I would have had a lot more respect. Not that I don't have any at all. I still think it's one of my favourite shows of the year, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But if they'd killed him off... Sorry, Tiger, if you're listening, as I always say. Well, he's got his signature about, so you never know. Oh,
I'm just having a look. This is completely unrelated. So we're talking about the special event, and I was like, I swear that event was in December. And I'm just looking, and maybe it was planted in stock, and I just realised I've got a special December event going on as well, or something like that. Or has that been and gone?
I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on with Panty and Stocking since everybody who made it's left to form their own company.
Okay,
pretty much. I mean, they're still putting... I mean, I've got their Trigger, and they're called now, and I've got them on Facebook, and they still put stuff about Panty and Stocking up, so I'm guessing they're still open to doing stuff with Gainax. They're just not going to do it under...
Gainax's
name. As a production company. But I think a bunch of them are working on the Black Rock Shooter TV show in January. Yeah,
Is that based on something? Or is... Because I've seen that name getting thrown about. I don't know where.
Music video.
Yeah. It was an OAV of something. And Black Rock Shooter. Yeah, it was an OAV.
Right.
50-minute OAV based on the song of the same name by Supercell.
That's an interesting story behind it, I suppose. Oh, I'll have to check that out before the series comes out.
I was going to say, oh yeah, Big O. I'm trying to remember. We've gone from spoilers to Tiger and Bunny. I'm now going to spoil Big O. Possibly, because I'm not sure I'm remembering it correctly. Isn't there like a time loop thing going on?
Yes, that's how...
With like a memory wipe, and Christmas Day is also important in that show as well.
Because I know the start of the second series, what's his last name? I can't remember.
Roger Smith.
Roger Smith.
Roger Smith.
One of the clan.
Well, apparently he's kind of gone off the rails for one reason or another, and it's been a lot of years since I've watched it. Well, since I've watched it, it's something to do with his memory, and then it leads on to this bigger thing with, as you say, some, I'm sure there's time loops and stuff, but then it ends prematurely with the without a third series.
Yeah,
which I'm still salty about. Because the sad thing is, I guarantee there'll never be a third series. And that's what's really sad.
Yeah, it's Sunrise as well. Yeah, I'm trying to think what happens. Every 40 years, everyone gets their mind wiped or something.
Yeah, because that's right, because they're all belong in the city, and that I'm sure it's segregated from everywhere else.
Yeah.
From beyond, like, this kind of snow globe effect. See, I would like to think with the success of Tiger and Bunny having, like, playing on, like, some West, because it's kind of Western with some of the things, like the superhero side of it. It's very inspired, but I would love to think people thought, oh, well, Big O was pretty Western. And this is doing well, so let's do a third series. I would love that to happen.
Have you read the manga?
I haven't, no.
Just reading here on Wikipedia, there's 8 volumes. So it looks like they did 6, and then they did something like they did with Battle Angel and released a further 2 volumes about a different story.
Might be worth having a look, because I do like Big O. I'm a big fan.
But yeah, if you like Tiger and Bunny, I'd say definitely go back and look at Big O, because there's lots of little similarities, like the being set in this odd sort of city, so it's Paradigm City in Big O as opposed to Sternville City, and loads of throwbacks to American superhero comics as well.
Oh yeah,
check out Gundam 00 as well. There's a lot of similar stuff. I know Brian's not a massive Gundam 00 fan, and I think from listening to the previous show, you're not massively keen on the new Gundam series. I'm not sure on that one yet.
Oh, Gundam Age, yeah.
Brian loves it.
Super keen. It's awesome.
I think I've been reading too many people's tweets, and some of the tweets are along the lines of maybe some of the reviews that you've given from previous stuff.
Oh, I don't know. Drift was hating on it. He was going, "Oh, I don't like the character design." I was going, "What? Character design is one of the best things about Gundam."
Speaking of reviews for things, I thought, you know what? I've done my notes for this episode. I'm going to try and find somebody saying some bad things about Tiger and Bunny. It's got no swearing in, unfortunately, because swearing in reviews makes them more powerful for the reader. But apparently somebody called Ouroboros said, "A failure of a great idea, a potentially post-Watchman turned out to be a bland, generic superhero tale that's merely reset for another generic tale. Media-marketed corporate heroes? It's hardly been done before. Too bad the creators chose to ground this ambitious premise with cliché after cliché. A good cast of characters that never went anywhere. A homoerotic relationship, scared to come out the closet. Substandard CGI animation turned me off big time. This show deserves nothing more than a C+. Won't bother with a second season."
And I like how they grasp the concept of the cliches.
But most of the bad comments I found were like people talking about the trailer, and then you look at their response on episode 1 and they go, "Oh, this wasn't anything like the trailer." Because I think it did have a pretty bad response on the trailer, because people were like, they didn't like the CG, they didn't like the idea of having real companies sponsoring the characters. It's not product placement, it's just name placement.
Except it's part of the story, yeah. It's not like it's silly, kind of, yeah.
But that first episode is so good, I think it got over, it got past people's prejudices quite quickly. Because it is one of the best first episodes.
Yeah.
I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I challenge anyone to genuinely dislike this show. Whether you're in anime or you've watched it in the past and you kind of want to dabble again. It's like, as I've been telling Leon, watch it, and he puts it off and puts it off, and I guarantee he will like it when he starts watching it. Guarantee. And I also guarantee that he'll want Tiger dead. Tiger dead. tiger. Should start.
A character's not worth like if you don't want him alive.
How can you want Tiger? He's
he's brilliant. I've said in a prior episode, I think he's a fantastic character, by far my favourite character in the series, and one of my favourite characters. Brilliant.
Yeah, I've seen people have problems with Barnaby more than Wild Tiger. I've seen people who find Barnaby a little too whiny. And a little too, sort of not liking Wild Tiger quick enough for their like. It's like, I really like Wild Tiger. Why don't you like him, Barnaby Brooks? Why are you so mean to Wild Tiger? I think it's pretty much the response people have.
Which is a valid point, I think.
Which is probably the point they're supposed to be going for. But
he does whine a lot. I mean, Batman gets on with it. His parents, he just gets on with it.
Oh, wait till you see what the Batman character in Zetman has to go through. Oh, there's some really horrible things he goes through. So Barnaby Brooks has got it going pretty light compared to what that guy has.
Oh, God. But yeah, good series. One of the best of the year, which I think we're going to mention in a future episode.
Yes, yes.
Our favourite shows. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I think that's everything I had to say about Tiger and Bunny.
Lewis, any final words? A guest usually has a final monologue to sell the world, the show.
You mean Leon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say I probably don't have any kind of inspirational, brilliant sort of things that Leon would normally say. I have to say, watch it. If you watch the first few episodes, you'll be hooked. You'll enjoy it. And if you don't, why are you watching anime? And it's kind of one of those. It's one of the things that first made me start watching anime. Just that kind of likeable character storyline, the whole quality music, soundtrack, everything just works really well together. I'd say it's great.
Except
it's
the second kind of ending theme. I don't like that very much.
I always tend to, with anime, I love the first opening songs and the first closing songs, and then they change, and I know why they do it. I wish they didn't, because they always
were. I really like the second intro, if we're going to get on about intros and outros. I like the second one, actually. It's pretty good. But I'm going to have to go back and see if I can spot the Christmas badge. Because that's totally beyond me. I did not notice that at all. Favourite characters of consensus is Tiger, I don't know.
Yeah, Tiger.
Yeah. I've made loads of notes for Tiger. I've put Ballsy. He's cool even when he's been a dick. Smart when he lets on. He's got integrity. I like that family element. My notes for Bunny, sort of a typical Bishy.
Or possibly Saito, outside running choice.
See, I liked Lunatic. I do like Lunatic, but I don't like him without the mask. I don't like the style of him. I think he looks very girly. I was expecting, nothing wrong with feminine looking males or anything, but he is such a badass character when he first turns up, and he's got the mask, he's got the awesome lines and the red moon, and then he's got this horrible hair when he takes the mask off.
I'm just curious how he managed to get all that hair under the mask, to be honest. unless the hair's a wig.
Could well be.
What if he's really bald?
That could be it.
That's the biggest problem in life.
He's burned all his hair off.
He has to wear makeup to cover the scars on his face, so possibly has to wear a wig as well. That would explain everything. I think we've cracked it, guys. the one plot loop hole in this TV show. How does Lunatic get his hair under his mask?
Oh, God. I think Sunrise should come to Brian for the second series, because he's obviously on for a winner with that premise.
Executive producer.
And I'm not even blowing his trumpet here. I think that is bang on. I think that would work.
I bet he won't. I bet they'll stick with, want to keep up the Wild Tiger, Barnaby Brooks bromance.
Yeah.
That's what sells.
It does. Sex sells, especially when it's with men. Apparently.
Well, no, they're not really selling that. It's like a...
I know.
It's like a weird sort of... Cause it's not
camaraderie.
Like, they're not sort of fetishizing a homosexual relationship. They're fetishizing a sort of a relationship between two heterosexual men.
Mm.
A lot of stuff has been doing this recently. It's like Dudara did it.
Did it? Characters with? Oh, I don't. Yes, I remember. Yeah. Okay.
I haven't finished that yet, so I'm still not overly fond of it.
What's wrong with you?
Well, I am behind because, as I say, I missed one of the screenings, so...
Well, you're going to be completely lost.
Okay. But I will catch up. I'm not going to... I would never, ever skip episodes.
But no, I just find it odd that you don't like the first half of the series, which I thought was excellent.
Well, as I've said before, watching the first couple, there were some very rowdy people sat at the front. Usually people who sit at the front are the most keen and want to watch it. The loud people sit at the back where they can't disrupt.
Oh, bollocks.
I didn't re-watch them like I wanted to, so next time I definitely would watch stuff. Like, I think it'd be good if you ever do other shows. Like, I think you should check out Captain Tyler, which is an oldie. No. The Irresponsible Captain Tyler.
Mm.
Yeah, I had a random volume of it on VHS a while back. But I think I've seen the last episode. It's one of these shows where I've seen the last episode of. But not the rest of the series. I think I've seen the last two episodes of it.
The whole thing's just a build-up to... He's just so lapsed-a-daisy through life, and he's so lucky. But he's also, you think, is he a genius or a complete idiot? And just the whole way the last episode comes together, it's brilliant. They don't make much... They don't make stuff in the same sort of way anymore.
Well, when's it from?
Mid-90s.
Oh, right. Anyway, I'll start recording, then we can...
Okay.
We can wrap up because I've got One Piece to watch on the weekend.
Oh, so have I.
So, right. Once again, I thought, right, I'll remember where we leave off.
That's all right. We'll just do the wrap-ups and then I'll edit it all out together.
Right.
So, anything you want to plug, Lewis, before we close off today?
I don't have a public Twitter, but I will plug my girlfriend. She runs Zen Creations, so you can find her on Facebook under Zen Creations Art, and have a website up shortly. But if you just go to the group, she does anime canvases, she does requests and everything like that. If you just want to check her out, you may see her at the conventions, running the dealer table. Just come have a look, say hello. You don't need to buy anything, just spread the word.
Damn good pieces of artwork as well, if I do say so myself. And I wasn't aware there was a Facebook group, but I will join, I will like, because her stuff's really, really good. She does requests as well, doesn't she?
Yeah, so most of the stuff that that Kat does is kind of, she'll do an existing picture, but she'll put her own spin on it, or she'll take a picture, but she won't do all of it. She'll kind of zoom in, so what you get is much more fuller picture rather than just some stuff. So you'll see on the page if you have a look. But my main thing, yeah, is to plug Kat. My Twitter is just general random nonsense. So I won't plug that because it's on private as well. And
it just complains about work all the time.
Yeah, pretty much. Talk about the Game of Thrones books I'm reading at the moment. That's about it.
No spoilers, please. No, she's good. She's a really good artist. I was very impressed. Not that I never thought she could draw or paint, but I'd never seen any of the stuff she'd done. So I was extra impressed when I had. You can find me on Twitter, as always, AntAskew, A-S-K-E-W. YouTube, which is Seng808, T-S-E-N-G, and the number's 808. And I think that's it. Yeah, that's it for me. Brian?
You'll find this podcast at awesome-engine.com. You'll also find it on iTunes under Dynamite in the Brain. Write us a nice review. You can also find us on Facebook, again, Dynamite in the Brain. And you can find me on Twitter under awesome_engine.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lewis. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite.